Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. The gospel story is tonight is part of a frame story. A frame story is a story that's cut in half, and the beginning is put up here, and the ending is put down here. And then another story is slid into the middle like a sandwich. And those two stories, when you see that, you'll know that those two stories interpret each other. A good example of that, we'll have this in a few weeks in Mark, is this story where Jesus curses the fig tree. That story is split up in two by Mark, and in the middle of that story, so at the beginning of the story, Jesus sees this fig tree, and the fig tree isn't bearing fruit, and so Jesus curses it and says, may you never bear fruit ever again. And then the ending of the story, where the disciples see the tree and it's all withered up, comes at the end, those two stories bracket the story in the middle, which is Jesus cleansing the temple, Jesus going in and casting out the money changers. Well, why does Mark do that? Mark does that because he wants you to interpret that, those two stories together. Why does Jesus curse the fig tree? Because it doesn't bear fruit. Why does Jesus cleanse the temple? Because it doesn't bear fruit. We have another example of that here today. Now, you remember 2 weeks ago, the gospel reading was about Jesus sending his disciples out two by two on mission and empowering them. He empowers them to cast out demons and to heal the sick and to preach the gospel. And then tonight in the gospel reading, they come back to report to Jesus how everything went. But in between that is the story from last week where John the Baptist gets beheaded by Herod. So what do these stories have to do with each other? First of all, the stories about the mission are pretty clear, right? I mean, Jesus is on a mission to rule and reign over the whole world. Jesus is on a mission to cast out demons, to forgive sins, to open the eyes of the blind, both literally physically and literally spiritually, open up darkened eyes to the glory of God. That's the mission that Jesus is on, and he sends his disciples on that mission as well. The mission is the kingdom of God, God wanting to rule and reign. And then you have this story about Herod beheading John the Baptist. And what does it have to do with it? Well, we get a clue in verse 34 of our text. And I should kind of, let me read through this real quick here, Mark chapter 6. The apostles returned to Jesus, the return from two Sundays ago, on this mission where they were casting out demons and preaching the gospel, and told Jesus all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while, for many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. So you're worn out, and you're tired, and you're hungry. Let's get away for a while and relax after this mission you've been on. And they went away in a boat to a desolate place by themselves. But a lot of people saw them going and recognized them, and they ran on foot from all the towns and got there to the other side of the Sea of Galilee ahead of him and met him on the other side. And when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like, Mark says, they were like sheep without a shepherd. Now, what does that mean, sheep without a shepherd? I mean, they probably look like sheep without a shepherd as the boat's out on the sea and they're coming into shore and all the people dressed in their wool robes are rushing around to come to the shore. But that sheep without a shepherd language is from the Old Testament. In the book of Numbers, in the book of 1 Kings, in the book of Ezekiel, those writers use language, sheep without a shepherd, to talk about Israel without a king or Israel with a bad king. It's language for a leaderless people. These people lack leadership. This is a problem throughout the Old Testament. It's who's the king? Who's going to be in charge? Who's going to deliver Israel from the pagans? Well, that's Herod's job. Herod's the king of the Jews. But what's Herod doing? Herod is sitting in a palace, eating massive amounts of food, throwing large parties with young girls dancing sensuously in order to impress the muckety-mucks from the region, so that he can have more political power today than he did before he threw that party for him. That's what Herod's doing. Meanwhile, what is the real king doing? The real king is out with the common people, the people who are without a shepherd, the people who are lonely, the people who are broken, the people who are starving hungry with nothing to eat, and Jesus is feeding them. In other words, put that sandwich together. Jesus' mission is about being the real king, as opposed to the fake king, as opposed to all the politicians who pose themselves as our real kings, but who only serve themselves. Jesus is the actual real king, and he serves us. Okay, this is Jesus' mission. This is what he's doing in the Gospels. So what he's doing leading up to the cross, he puts his stamp on it. He finally enacts it. It's empowered with the resurrection. He is the real king in charge of everything. Okay, that's the main theological thing that's going on in our stories. But as far as the narrative goes, the main thing is the disciples learning how to do mission. 2 weeks ago, they learned how to do mission by watching Jesus in Nazareth. There's no faith. He can only do a few miracles. So he sends them out, empowers them to go on mission throughout all the region, and they go out on all the mission. And tonight, he's going to send them on a similar mission. Now, this mission, the thing about mission is, tonight I want to just give you like three things that our story tonight tells us about Jesus' mission. And of course, Mark's not written to tell you random historical facts about the disciples. It's meant to call those of you who are disciples, which is all of you who believe in Jesus, into this mission as well, and to show you what this mission is about. How can you be on mission as well? This is what Mark 6 is talking about. So there's three things in here I want to point out to you. First of all, mission is done out of our hunger. So the disciples are tired. They've been preaching. They've been traveling around healing people, casting out demons, and they get back and they're hungry. Jesus says to them, come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while, because they didn't have leisure even to eat. So they need to recharge, right? Jesus is concerned about them physically. They're tired and they need to recharge. But what happens is mission shows up and they don't get to say, I'm checking out. I can't do this. You know, I need a little downtime. Me time, you guys know about me time, right? It's the stuff you hear parents say when their kids get rowdy. Or people who work too hard. I need a little downtime. I need a little me time. That's a very postmodern thing. There's no such thing as me time in the Bible. You are constantly and always on mission. Now, this doesn't mean that your physical well-being is not important to God. I mean, Jesus calls them away because he's worried about them physically. He wants them to eat. He wants them to rest. But when the rubber hits the road, hunger is no barrier to mission. And if you go into whatever mission God has called you to be on, so your workplaces, your families, the evangelism that you're called to do, and if you go in there and you think, you know what, I just don't feel up to this today. You're never going to do mission. You have to go in knowing that you're never going to feel up to it. You're never going to be equipped. You're never going to be completely comfortable and satisfied. You are always going to be hungry. But the mission grows out of your hunger. It's interesting, right? I mean, the disciples are the hungry ones at the beginning of the story. But at the end of the story, they're recognizing, you know, they're forcing to be recognized that it's all these other people who are actually the hungry ones. And our hunger right now is irrelevant because they're hungry and we need to serve them. Now, this is hard to do, right? I mean, it's hard to feed hungry people when you yourselves are hungry. I say this all the time about my kids. You know, I'll come home and they'll be noisy or crazy and I just need to get something to eat first and then I'll feel better. You know, and we have, you know, hangry is a word in our cultural lexicon for when you're hungry and it makes you angry and you can't cope with anything else and you just need to eat a Snickers bar and then you feel better, right? But there's no Snickers bar here. There's needy people and Jesus is telling you to feed them. And so you just have to do it and know that your hunger is not a barrier to feed them. But it feels hard. It feels like impossible. And this is because, and this is the second point, mission is done out of our incompetence. We are hungry and we are unable to feed ourselves. We are hungry and we are unable to feed anybody else. Right? In verse 35, it grows late and Jesus' disciples come to Jesus and say, this is a desolate place and the hour is now late. Send all these people away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. And Jesus answers them, you give them something to eat. They have nothing to eat. Jesus tells them to check themselves, and they got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. But that's all they have, and Jesus is saying, it doesn't matter. You need to go feed them. Mission is done out of incompetence. So it works like this. Not only are you hungry, you are incompetent to feed yourself. So somebody says to you, hey, can you help out with VBS this year? And you think to yourself, you know, I'm just not great with kids. This is what we do, right? I'm just not great with kids. Or, you know, I work real hard and, you know, VBS, I'm too tired for that. I can't do it. Now, what you're doing is you're recognizing a valuable mission principle. You're not adequate for anything that you're called to do on mission. As a part of kingdom work, you just can't do it. And what you've done properly is recognize, I'm not up to that. I talk to lots of 20-somethings who, if I say to them, you know, singles, and I say to them, this is a totally common answer. Hey, so when are you going to get married? You know, when are you going to have a family? I'm not ready for that. I can't do that. Well, yeah, of course not. Nobody, whoever is ready for marriage, whoever is ready for the mission of having kids, you never are. You're never adequate for it. You're always hungry and lacking, and you're always incompetent to feed yourselves and them. You'll always feel inadequate when you're a parent, and you'll always feel like they're feeling inadequate about you. Now, this is the first step, is recognizing this. Now, the false move is to say, so I can't do it. I can't help out with VBS this year. Or I'm not going to get married and have kids. Or I can't talk to my friend about Jesus because I just don't. He's going to ask questions about, you know, stuff that I don't know about. And I've never been trained in apologetics. And I've always felt like I maybe should take a course, but I have never taken that course. And so I don't really feel like I can do it. No. Out of your hunger and out of your incompetence is where mission happens. Because this is not your mission. This is the third point. This is not your mission. This is Jesus' mission. And Jesus wants us to get to the place where we recognize that we are hungry, we are incompetent to feed ourselves, but that he is going to do it for us. That's what happens next, right? Jesus says to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. And when they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. And Jesus commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. And so all these people sat down by hundreds and by fifties, and taking those little 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing, broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people, and he divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. Do you need to be a certified preschool teacher before you help out with Sunday school or VBS? Do you need to feel completely self-assured and confident and comfortable in your own skin before you start being a parent? Do you need to take like a whole course of seminars on apologetics before you start witnessing about Jesus to your friends and to your family who are lost? No. You're hungry, and you'll always be hungry. You don't know anything. You don't know the right answers. You don't know how to deal with people. You don't know how to raise a family. You don't know how to do mission. You're incompetent, and you're empty, and you're broken. And you're hungry. But if you'll just trust Jesus to do the mission through you, you'll have more bread than you know what to do with. Amen.